What up, family? It's your man, Hugh Holler, and you are now rocking with the most in-depth show in hip-hop.
Yo, what's good, y'all? It's your boy, BRM.
Hey, yo, this is D-Rock.
What's good? This is your boy, Intellect.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Mitch Durrell.
What's good, everybody? This your boy, TC, and you rocking with the Bookkeeper 24-7 podcast, whose hands always on that plow. So keep it tuned in, because we in the field, man, changing the culture for God. Let's go. I got it all.
It's right there.
I got it all in my boogie book.
Yeah. Bookkeeper.
My bookie
24/7.
I got it all in my boogie book.
Yeah. We in our bag now.
All in my boogie book.
Yo, hey. Yo, yo. Hey, welcome to the show.
Hello.
24/7, Lord, hit him with the glow.
Bling.
New podcast, and we do it for your soul.
Your soul.
Bookkeeper 24, we do it for the bros.
The
true fellowship with the saints, boy, you know.
You
now
know?
I keep the book. To keep the foe, hit it in my heart and I put it on my phone.
Okay.
Sincere milk, now it's time for you to grow. And hear the good news, for it's time for you to go.
Powered by TBK247.com. Welcome to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with my husband and your host, Daryl Kemp. Thank you, as well as our new listeners, for joining us. On this podcast, we interview artists that we feel should be on everyone's radar and discuss not just music, but their testimony, musical influences, and other topics throughout our culture.
Throughout our culture.
Throughout In our the 28th episode, Daryl chops it up with veteran Christian rap artist, the incredible Justin Martyr. They discuss his testimony, white man's religion, and the importance of basic Christianity. Justin Martyr also shares great advice on how black and brown people need to know church history and how he had to know different gang history, which made it easier to evangelize in some of the roughest parts of Chicago. It's another smackdown interview. You just have to stay tuned in until the end. Don't forget, if you really want to help us grow, smash that like button. Subscribe to the channel and hit the alert button to be notified for the most in-depth show in hip-hop, the Bookkeeper 247 podcast. Thanks for joining us, Justin Martyr. Without further delay, let's go.
What's up, everyone? This is Lexi Nirvana, and you're listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast. Check out my newest single, Tú Me Dices, featuring RMK on all digital platforms. This song really speaks about how sometimes in life we have so many problems, and those problems want to tell us who we are. But the only one that could tell you who you are really and knows you is God. When you have a relationship with Him, when you come into His presence, He'll tell you who you are and not the problem. So I hope this song really speaks to you. God bless.
Hello and welcome to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, where we explore the intersection of faith and culture through the lens of Christian hip hop. I'm your host, Daryl Kemp, and today we have with us Christian rapper Justin Martyr, who is a veteran in Christian hip hop ministry and also a child prodigy. Justin Martyr, welcome to the show.
What's going on, everybody? Good to be here.
Yes, sir. It's good to have you, too. Man, we love to start the show off with a little icebreaker. So who is Justin Martyr?
Yeah, Justin Martyr is a servant of Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, God Most High. I'm a musician, pastor, artist, father, husband, a lot of different things. But just want to glorify the Lord and make excellent art and have fun at the same time. And sometimes my songs are very serious, deep theologically, and other times I'm just trying to have a good time, but want to glorify Christ in each and every way.
Yes, sir. Can you explain the meaning behind your name, Justin Martyr?
Yeah, man, that's a great question. So my government name is Justin. I used to go by the name Justin Credible, Justin-Credible. And I got challenged on that name by a few people, and then a bunch of wrestlers start using it, and magician, all these other people, DJ, but I had it first. I got this receipts, you know, I got music from 2004-03 with that name. So I still use it as my producer name, Justin Credible Productions, LLC. But Justin Martyr, I wanted the stage name that I used my government name. But a martyr comes from the Greek word martyrus. I had the blessing of learning Greek and Hebrew in Bible college and seminary. And then I'm a theological nerd. My nerdy side, I started studying Aramaic. So a lot of people don't know the Bible's original three languages. Hebrew, predominantly the Old Testament is mostly Hebrew. And a few parts are Aramaic. When the Jews went into the captivity into the other nations. And then we got the Koine Greek is the New Testament. So anyway, martus is where we get the word martyr from, and it primarily means a witness. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8, a lot of people familiar with that. Jesus rose again. He was with his disciples for 40 days, and he's ascending up. He says, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my martus, martureus, my martyrs, my witnesses. So it primarily means a witness. So I'm Justin the witness. Now it has come to mean someone who dies for their faith, and I'm also willing to die for my faith. You shouldn't sign up to be a Christian if you're not willing to die for Christ. A lot of people don't know. Amen. That's part of the sign up package. That's kindergarten Christianity. That's not even deep. That's basic Christianity, that you're supposed to be willing to die for Christ. The original disciples, all of them died for Christ. Only one, John, starved on the island of Patmos. So he still died for Christ, but the rest of them were slaughtered for Jesus. And so, and then there's a church father, which I want to promote that more in Black and brown Christian communities to get into church history. So we don't just know the preachers of our day in the 80s, 90s or whatever. Hey, what do you know about the first century, second century, third century? So there's a brother named Justin Martyr, who's credited with starting apologetics, which is the defense of the Christian faith. And so his name was Justin Martyr. And so it was kind of a double entendre. My name's Justin. I'm a witness for Christ. It's an homage to the church father, Justin Martyr. And so that's my name.
Amen. And where are you from, Justin?
I am born and raised in the 305, County of Dade, Miami, Florida. I love my city. I've lived in Atlanta, and I've been in Chicago, Chi-Town, for the last 10 years. But I'm born and raised. I'm a Miami, Florida boy. Dade County. Yes.
Dade County. And can you tell us a little bit about your upbringing and how it influenced the music you make today?
Yeah. I was born and raised in the church. My dad is and still is a pastor. He planted a church about 4 years before I was even born. He originally is from Jamaica. Both my parents are immigrants from Jamaica. They moved to New York where they met, had my two sisters, and then me and my brother were born in Florida. I was born and raised in the church, came to Christ at a very young age, 4 years old, believe it or not. Baptized at 5. Began preaching at 7. I don't endorse that, but that's what happened with me. But from 7 to maybe 18, 19, it was a struggle. I wasn't discipled. Sorry, Dad, if you see this. I wasn't. I was in church. I was a musician. You mentioned Child Prodigy. Began playing the drums at 11 months. Became the church drummer at 5. Remember people looking over to see who's on the drum set. Couldn't even see me. I was so small. Won my first drum competition at 7. And so, I love church. It was great, man. I had a great childhood. But as I got older, public school, getting with girls, trying to be a thug, I wasn't in the streets, but you can't let nobody punk you.
That's right.
You got to fight. You got to stand up for yourself. Had cats throwing juice at people and doing all kind of stuff. Picking fights. Wow. They're jealous. They girl like you. You know what I'm saying? Regular city stuff. I wasn't never gangbanging, thank God. That's not as big in Miami. We had gangs, but it ain't nothing like Chicago. For a while, I never lived in the world, but I definitely dabbled in sin a little bit just to get a little taste of what it was like. But God kept me. And long story Amen. Short, I really... solidified and owned my faith in my late teens.
So. Yes, sir. So how did that So what was your first introduction to music? I heard you saying you played the drums at 11 months. Yeah. So what is the first introduction to music that you can remember?
Yeah, man, I remember growing up in church and just, you know, the choir, the organ, you know, the black church Hammond B3 organ, not no pipe organ, you know, and I remember music at church. And then shout out to my oldest sister, Charisse. She was into Christian hip hop and mainstream. Okay. So I grew up, I think my earliest music memory somewhere between maybe MC Hammer, Pray, or You Can't Touch This, Crisscross Jump. And then a cat named Michael Peace that some people know because Dayton put him on his project, Christian Hip Hop Ain't Dead. I've been knew about Michael Peace. New York was a big influence on me as well, because there's tons of Jamaicans in New York. My parents were first met there. I have family still there. And then Miami's like the New York of the South. So you don't see a lot of cats wearing Timberland shoes. And it's 85 degrees, 70 degree average. Why you got Tim's on? But they're usually from New York, you know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, my earliest memory was, a combination of traditional gospel music, hip hop, and, you know, a little reggae, calypso, ska, some of the Caribbean type music as well. And so even in my music now, I kind of take all those elements and fuse them together. So you might hear a song. I got songs I sampled Kirk Franklin, Ty Tribbett. And then I got songs that's boom bap, East Coast. I got the trap going, the, you know, turn up stuff. And so I love different genres and styles. I got some reggae music in some of my music. So all that played a role. But yeah, earliest memory was between the church and just early hip hop. And, you know, I've dabbled in rock a little bit, you know, Red Hot Chili Peppers, some of them groups, but primarily hip hop, gospel, and reggae.
Yes, sir. I'm more of a Bon Jovi man myself. Bon Jovi? And Nickelback.
Nice.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Don't put people in boxes, man.
That's right. Yes, sir. So how did that, your love of music, your sister, growing up with the Caribbean and all different styles of music, how did that transition you into Christian hip hop?
Yeah, man. Great question. And thanks for having me once again. Yeah, so because I grew up on Christian hip-hop and I trusted Christ at a very young age, I'd probably say the first group that I could remember that really inspired me, and you know, shout out to the Gospel Gangsters, seeing them live, T-Bone. But I think one of the first groups that probably inspired me to really do Christian hip-hop myself probably have to be the Cross Movement. You know, the Ambassador, my hero in the faith. I've had the blessing to get to know him. Fanatic, who, you know, sadly recently denied the faith. I'm continuing to pray for him. But those two brothers especially, and eventually Flame, Early the Truth, Early Lecrae. I would go on their websites, and I was seeing brothers who looked like me that spoke my language, but they were deep theologically. And that really grabbed my attention, because most of the people I was around is very shallow, their theology. They could quote some scripture, but they get more hype over the Miami Dolphins or the Heat or the Super Bowl than the word, or it's a tie. And I was like, you know, I didn't know many people who could defend the faith against cults and stuff. Jehovah's Witness come to the door. They knew they were weird and they'll try to shoo them away from their door. But I didn't know many people who say, hey, come inside. I'm happy to see you, JW, and let's talk and run them out of your crib. You
know, yes, sir.
You knew the word so well. And so these brothers, Cross Movement, they're probably one of the first that, you know, I would say theologian rappers. There were other Christian rappers before them, but they're the first that I know of. Hey, I'm not saying I know everyone who was out, but that I know of that were rapping theology and made it cool to go deep in the faith. That made it, you know, I didn't really even know I was supposed to make disciples till Christian rappers told me about that. I thought it was the 12 disciples over there, and then I'm kind of living my life. It was like, oh, I'm supposed to make disciples and reproduce Christ. Oh, okay, you know. So I was learning more from their music than I was from church. So that inspired me to do Christian hip hop, because I wanted to instruct and bless people in a similar way to how they did for me. And then if God gives you a gift, why wouldn't you use it for his glory? Why wouldn't you You know, Amen. People have liberty how they rap. You know, some people are more positive. They're rappers that's Christian. There's Christian rappers. I have songs on both sides of it. I got songs, Don't Even Mention Christ, all about the NBA that I've shopped to the NBA and to different brands. And then I got songs talking, rapping in Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic and church history and all this stuff. And so instead of putting them all together against each other, I try to say, let's have grace and try to work together. Even though my conviction is I do think the best way to do Christian hip hop is explicit gospel Christian hip hop. But I understand that that's not everyone's conviction. And I've seen God open some cool doors through artists who are more on the positive side. They've been able to get into certain doors that, you know, otherwise might not open. So, yeah. So shout out to Cross Movement.
Yes, sir. I guess I came in late because I came in like church clothes one, maybe Lecrae.
Yeah, you super late.
Yeah,
2012, bro.
Yes, sir.
I'm 93. You 20 years after me, brother.
Yes, sir. So Bizzle, Tough Love and Parables.
Oh yeah, Bizzle.
Yeah. So yeah, I come in that era. So can you talk to us about a specific experience or moment when you felt your music had a significant impact on someone's life?
Yeah, man. And it's funny because I can't even vouch for some of these things, but these are things people have told me. People have told me they got saved after hearing one of my songs before. And I'm like, praise God, I don't hear Amen. The gospel in that specific song. But if God could use it in some way, praise God for that. So I've had that. God, I got saved. There's artists I've discipled. Shout out to V Keys. He's more on the gospel side, but he's an artist now. He's done some big things. Kim Burrell, Fred Hammond have commended his music. So I've been able to disciple other artists who are now out doing great things. I've been in prisons. I've rapped in clubs. I've done shows with big name Christian hip hop and secular artists. Like, yeah, I've done stuff with Cross Boomin and done stuff with, you know, Brian Trejo and other people like that, Lecrae and others. But I've also done stuff with Pretty Ricky and Ace Hood and people like that. So, I've seen salvation stories. I've seen people say that music changed their life. It introduced them to Christian hip hop. I've been the first Christian rapper some people have known of, which is an honor. And so those are just some of the things that I could think of off the top.
Amen. Let me ask you this before we cut into the first break. I hear a lot of people say that they don't understand why Christians do music with mainstream artists. And I think I read an article one time when Andy Mineo, and forgive me if I'm wrong, actually had some of his music in a bar set. He was performing in some bars. Yeah. At one time, I always say the Lord will give any of us an opportunity to share with anybody the good news. Do you have any, just one short story of how you was able to share with anybody, like in a secular or mainstream place?
Yeah, man, I've performed at mainstream clubs, and often what happens, there's a Christian involved, maybe that works in the organization that puts it together. And I've seen people look up and be shocked at what the content of what I'm rapping about, because my music doesn't change. The setting don't change my music. I'm doing the same thing, right in your face, Christ explicit. And shout out to my wife, Aisha Marie. She's an artist as well. And we've done stuff together where, you know, believers will come up later and be like, wow, I've never seen a Christian articulate their faith in their music, and they want to learn how to do it. We've seen people ask things about Christ, like, oh, wow, like, wow, you're here? Like, they're sometimes surprised. So I think there's a difference of performing on a secular venue versus, I've never done music. I have a personal conviction. I would not put a secular or mainstream artist on my music. Now, I'm open to getting on their song, so they can widen my platform. I don't really agree or even fully understand why some of the artists that we know in our space have put the bigger artists on their platform. That's kind of lame to me. It's like, go on their platform. That makes more sense. You're not as known as them, so you go do a song with them, and then you could promote Christ and do all that. But you bringing them to yours, that's kind of never, you know, made sense to me, because, you know, what fellowship does darkness have with light? There's no real, if there's evangelism going on, then go on their stuff. But I don't see how you're evangelizing by, you're like co-signing who they are by putting them on your stuff. So, so yeah, I think I heard of one Christian rapper who said a song got played in a strip club, I think.
Yeah, I think I heard that too. Like, me too.
Hopefully he wasn't there when they played it.
Yes, sir. You are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, Justin Martyr. When we come back after these messages, we'll be hearing Justin Martyr's testimony.
Yo, yo. Man, what's good? It's your boy Shine On Me. We locked into the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast. Listen, make sure you tap into the new project, The Curse of the Prophet. It's out right now on all streaming platforms. Lock in for me, you hear me? So many bad decisions, still facing consequences. Pressure crept in and left me with a disturbed mind. Going off the handle like hotel, do not disturb signs. Nothing came.
Do you need production for your podcast or YouTube video? Look no further. We got you. Do you want to do album reviews? Start your own podcast? Write your own devotionals? Look no further. We got you. Do you want to report Christian news from hip-hop to book reviews, as well as related topics in our culture? Look no further. We got you. By partnering with us, we can do all these things for the glory of God. Email us at thebookkeeper247@gmail.com and let's start making strides to influence the culture from a godly perspective. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with Justin Martyr. As we move into this segue, I love to hear testimony, and so do our listeners. Talk to us about the transition of unsaved Justin Martyr to accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Yeah, man. So I have a unique story, not unheard of, but I was saved, as I said, at 4 years old, baptized at 5. And so I honestly never lived in sin. Now, I sin, of course. I'm a sinner. Mm-hmm. All of sin falls short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of preachers or friends would be like, well, you know that old man when he was in the world. And I'm like, no, I have the sinful flesh, but there is no old man in the sense of when I was partying and doing all that stuff. That's just never been me. I kind of looked at what was going on with some of my friends. Some OD'd and died in high school. Some, you know, baby mamas here and there, you in child support court, horrible stress. And I was like, that's stupid. And I was blessed to grow up in a two-parent home, a very harmonious home. The streets was never a temptation. There was no need because I had the family. I had the money, you know, we didn't grow up in the hood. My dad's church was in the hood, but we went to some of the best schools and all that. And so God preserved me. And there's many people with my testimony. A lot of people forget. You know, you could argue what is the normal testimony. Is it I was in the streets, I was locked up, I got shot? Or is it I was kind of a normal kid and had some temptations, definitely fell in some types of sin, but God kept me. And so that's more my story. So 4 years old, saved, baptized at 5, had a time of, you know, trying to fit in with the world. I wouldn't say all the way 1 foot in the church, 1 foot out, but definitely, you know, cussing at school, sexual sin, getting with girls, certain things like that. But around 18, 19, I took a world religions class. And the cool thing is we actually went to different religious sites in this class. And I even got a Quran, went to the mosque, spoke to the imam. The imam is the Muslim version of a pastor. The Quran is their holy book. And we went to different religious sites, Buddhist temple. And at that point, I was ready to leave Christianity if I found out that it was false. And I had never looked into other faiths. And I came to a point where I was like, man, am I just a Christian because my mom raised me, my dad raised me? If they were Buddhist, I'd be a Buddhist. If they were Muslim, I'd be a Muslim. And long story short, man, I saw that Jesus claimed things nobody else claimed, and he backed it up by dying and rising again. Amen. Jesus so gangster, like he said, hey, I'm going to die and rise again. Then he did it. And was seen by over 500 eyewitnesses. And he could have just rose again and then disappeared. And then, oh yeah, he rose. You know, I didn't see. But it was like, yo, he did it in such a way like you couldn't even refute it. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And just the change that the Christian faith has made on the world, and also that guarantee that Jesus says, you know, if you eat of this bread, you will never hunger again. No other religious figure can make those types of claims because they're really not God. You know,
yes, sir.
And I looked at other faiths and I'm like, man, there's no assurance. Like, and you guys are admitting, you're telling us that y'all don't know. Oh, we'll be reincarnated in Buddhism. Oh, we'll be reincarnated in Hinduism. You know, Judaism, you don't have no temple to sacrifice. Islam, you got to, you know, pray five times a day, go to Mecca and hope for the best, you know. And I'm mm-hmm. like, man, Jesus don't say hope for the best. He said, believe in me, you'll have everlasting life. You will not perish. And,
amen.
So I realized, wow, like this faith really is true. And then that ignited a passion because I had some tough questions. And, you know, I felt some of the Christians around me, you know, kind of didn't take them as serious. And that's why it's important that we got to take people's questions seriously, man. You don't know what people are going through. You don't know if they're on the brink. You don't know what's going on. And even if you don't have the answer, direct them to other ministries, maybe get someone else involved, but don't shun people away when they have questions. Even if you think it's a dumb question, be like, hey, you know what? I don't struggle with that question, but let me direct you to some resources that can help, you know, because people want to be validated. And so my questions mm-hmm. weren't taken as seriously. So it led to me kind of leaving certain church circles that I was around at the time. And I still love those people to this day, but there definitely was a respect level that lessened. And we see a lot of mass exodus of a lot of the millennials and Gen Z. And part mm-hmm. of it is people not taking their questions seriously. And you can't get away with some of the foolishness in previous generations where you just up there preaching and everyone just believe what you say. Now people are checking on their phones if that's true. There's more skepticism right. against Christ. More, why should I believe the Bible's true? We have alternate spirituality growing, like the Hebrew Israelite cult. We got some of this West African Yoruba foolishness going on where, and you know, I'm Caribbean. I know about witchcraft. That's regular for us. I've been to Africa. Like, them people, they ain't even on that stuff. It's so funny when people, a lot of us who are maybe products of slavery, like we're disconnected and we're trying to, it kind of becomes sexy to connect with witchcraft and all this stuff. It's like, talk to the people from them lands. They know how terrible this stuff is. They're not playing with that. You know what I'm saying? So, but because a lot of the churches, we've ignored the questions or we've not been tapped in with the culture, we've lost so many people. And you look 20 years later, it's all old people in your church. It's a dead church. And mm-hmm. older people, seasoned people. yeah.
Yes, sir. You know, I think what I love about your testimony is this, when you said that the Lord kept me. The reason that I love that part is because you see so many intellectuals, right, that they start reading the Quran. They start studying Buddhism. The Hebrew Israelites come, this domination or this and this and that. And they're intellectually worldly smart, right? They're smart. You know, they absorb like a sponge, but you see I've seen so many just get sidetracked and then they're lost. So what I love about hearing your testimony, because I know you're intellectual, I know you came in the beginning of the podcast, right? You know, I could tell. And I think that the difference with hearing you and hearing your heart and your testimony is you allowed the Lord to keep you. I give you big ups for that. At this moment, too, I always get the opportunity to talk to that one out there that's feeling like it's impossible to win. If you could talk to that person right now that's on the fence of accepting Christ and God's will for their life, what advice would you give them?
Yeah, I would just tell them, don't let anything distract you. There's nothing more important than your eternity. You know, relationships will fade away. Jobs will come and go. Opportunities, business, whatever you're looking for. But You know, God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you have to be his child, man. So be born again, repent, trust in Christ, and God can save you. He can change you. Don't let Satan distract you. And we're here for you, man. Hit us up, my social media, email, whatever. Same thing with Bookkeeper. And we love you. We care about you. You're not alone. You're made in God's image. You have value. You have worth. You have a purpose. And yeah, don't let your purpose be robbed for, you know, a temporary hindrance. So we're here for you. Don't give up.
Amen. Amen. You are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, Justin Martin. Stay locked in as we'll be back after these messages.
This is Nathan David of Israel, and you're now tuned in to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast. Get ready to be inspired and have your faith strengthened with every moment of the show. With the mission to change the culture for God, this Christian rap and hip-hop podcast is sure to uplift and motivate you. Make sure you go and check out my EP, Road to Heaven, and the single from it, God's Character. We out.
We have a new way you can seed with the bookkeeper247.com to help us grow. Head over to the website, click the merch button, and pick out our newly better quality design t-shirts. Enter the promo code behind the mic and get 10% off of your purchase. Also, you can help us grow by dropping a comment and sharing the podcast. Make sure you hit the subscription button to be notified for the most in-depth show in hip-hop with my hubby and your host, Daryl Kemp.
This is Kyle Kemp from the Bookkeeper247.com. Music represents our uniqueness, our freedom, and helps define who you are. Good music is art, expression, and good music is always personal. The Bookkeeper 24/7 understands the influence music has on our lives. So on our website, we have the best Christian music for the culture. If you'd like to submit your music or videos to our website, we have the link in the show notes. Now back to the most in-depth show in hip-hop with my dad on the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast.
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with Justin Martin. Let's talk CHH. Let's talk CHH. How do you feel about Christian hip hop now compared to how it was then?
Yeah, man. Christian hip hop has its growing pains. I love Christian hip hop. I'm happy to be a part of Christian hip hop. I thank God that he's given me gifts and music that I could talk about whatever I want to talk about when I want. God could be glorified. People are edified. People could hear beats that I made and thousands of people in an arena could dance to it. By God's grace, I've been able to perform all over the world doing Christian hip hop. Kenya for 2 weeks was out there. Performed in front of 100,000 people dancing to a beat I made, a song I created by God's grace, you know. Bahamas, New York, all over Denver, Colorado, obviously Chicago, Florida, all Canada. So, I think Christian hip hop, I like that there's different age groups. There's guys in their 50s, like my hero in the faith, The Ambassador. He just put out an EP recently, The Invitation. He's putting out music. You got Lecrae in his 40s. Sometimes you forget because sometimes his music is like what the guys in their 20s are doing. You know, sometimes I joke like, man, like you rapping like Lil Baby or somebody in their 20s. You know, you like 40 something. But you got him doing his thing. I like that he's kind of more turned the corner. He's embracing the title Christian hip rapper again. Jesus is more in his music again. And I was praying for years for him. Ran into him a few times. You know, got to, you know, be around him a little bit. One of my mentors discipled him, a guy named Dahadi Lewis of Blueprint Church in Atlanta. That's Show Baraka's older brother who discipled Show, led Show to Christ, helped disciple Lecrae, Tadashi, Tripley, a lot of these guys in Texas before they planted a church in Atlanta. Now, all of them, well, most of them moved to Atlanta now. So Soup is there, Tadashi, Andy Mill, Lecrae. A bunch of people are R. Swift. A lot of people moved to Atlanta. Anyway, yeah, you got the young guys, Zonti, you got, you know, some of these guys, you got multiple outlets, The Bookkeeper, 247, Rapzilla, you got Christian Hip Hop, Hits Just As Hard, you got Holy Culture, you know, you got a bunch of people, you know, I watch this show NBA Today a lot on 2-3 p.m. Eastern weekdays. I'm hearing songs by, you know, the Cray 1K Few, the beat or their song. I'm hearing stuff by Daraj, who used to be Sound RMG, hearing a lot of stuff from Derek Minded. So there's a lot of great doors of people making good money and not even compromising, just making a sports song. So so and then you got God Over Money, they're killing it. They doing their thing, repping the Lord hard, you know, Seven every now and then. I know he kind of retired. I hope he comes out of that, you know, because I love Seven. Him and Bizzle are some of my favorite Christian rappers right now. But all time, I'd say, you know, Ambassador crossing with Flame, The Truth, some of those guys earlier on stuff, early in the crate. So yeah, I'm happy. There's you know, Holy Smoke Fest. You got Miles Minnick. There's a lot of good stuff going on, man. A lot of different styles, you know. It might not be for you, some of the younger stuff. And then you got people, like I said, different age groups. I think that's great. We got the Kingdom Choice Awards. We got, you know, different things going on, honoring different artists. So I think Christian hip hop's in a good place overall. I'd love to see more discipleship. I'd love to see more people embracing maturity in the faith, even if your music isn't all about that. But for a while, it was, you know, they were dissing the explicit Christian rappers. I don't hear as much of that anymore, so that's good. But I would love to see more than just, oh, I need to make dope music. Like, I need to be a dope Christian. that music fall off, then what? And I think you alluded to this book, like seeing different people fall off. Now, some were intellectual, and you could outthink your way out the faith because you just make it all about knowing everything, where you're not going to know everything. You have to be guided, led by the Holy Spirit. Got to submit. Let the gospel be the anchor. Because there were times I was studying the Quran and stuff, I had to take breaks. My head started hurting me. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to be confused or anything. Because the Quran takes a lot of shots at the Bible. Has a lot of the same stories, but then they twist it and say, oh, like they'll have Jesus. I am not to be worshipped. I am the son of Mary. I am not, you know, son of God. And like stuff like that. Like Moses is saying this, and Paul and Peter were Muslims, and, you know, crazy stuff like that. So you got to be rooted and grounded. And I'm seeing some of my homies who were top Christian rappers. I ain't saying names, but they've fallen from the faith. Some made music an idol, and when it didn't pop how they wanted, they fell off. And you know, what's crazy is it's a lot easier to make a big name in Christian hip hop than in mainstream. It's harder. Like, okay, Christian hip hop, you're competing with Lecrae, Andy, KB, you know, people like that. Secular, you're competing with Drake, Eminem, Kanye, you know.
That's right.
You know, like, if you sell 20K units in Christian hip hop, that's amazing. Woo, he killed it, boy, 20K. Sell 20K in mainstream, they laughing at you. Oh, he did 20K, dad, he flopped. You know what I'm saying? Now, there's a lot more resources, radio, all that, you know, outlets out there. But yeah, I like where Christian hip hop is right now. It seems like there's a better appreciation of different methods of doing Christian hip hop. It was rough, man, probably good 4, 5, 6 years ago. Because I've always been an explicit Christian rapper. But I've even changed some of my philosophy to where I incorporate the more have fun, positive type stuff. I just wish more people would maybe be balanced. Shout out to S.O. I think he's a good example of that balance, like, you know, having certain songs that theologically sound, you know, he knows a lot of good theology, but then he has other stuff. You know, he's very diverse. Afrobeat, you know, he's Nigerian, though he's born in the West. You know, he got like the boom bap going, he got the trap, he got even the new, you know, UK drill stuff, grime, you know, so yeah.
Yes, sir. Can you tell us more, speaking of music, can you tell us more about your song Cold Street and what inspired it?
Yeah. So I got a song Cold Streets featuring Three, formerly of Infantry. He just signed with D Black recently. I forgot the name of the label, but they just signed on Track Stars. They did a
His Story.
Yeah, his story. Oh, okay, good. Yeah, you keep it up. But yeah, man, three brother I met when I moved into Chicago. We actually used to live on the same block for a while, and we got pretty tight. He's done music with me and my wife. So there's a few artists.
Oh, that's dope.
Both of us. Again, shout out my beautiful wife, Aisha Marie. About to celebrate 8 years married. Got a beautiful son, Justin II, a.k.a. Deuce.
About
2 years old. So Cold Streets, it is a song that shows three different views of street life in Chicago. So three different views of street life in Chicago. First view is me. I made the beat, came up with the concept. I'm an outsider, not from the streets, from Miami, Florida. But I did ministry in one of the worst hoods in Chicago, arguably the worst. It's called Inglewood. That is where Lil Durk is from. Chief Keef. I believe Anthony Davis, Derrick Rose, Bernie Mac, Jennifer Hudson. A lot of big names. But it's real out there. And it makes the hoods I've seen in Miami and Atlanta look like patty cake. It's the amount of death I saw. I worked at a nonprofit ministry called Inglewood Family Outreach. And by the first 4 months I worked there, I knew four guys who were killed. Or no, three guys who were killed and one that hung himself. I got there January 2017. By May, three shooting deaths and someone took their own life, hung himself. And so, can you imagine first 4 months trying to do ministry? That was the first time I was trying to win souls and someone get killed in the midst of me trying to witness. I never experienced that. It's, hey, come to this men's retreat, man. Come hang out, man, with some getaway, you know, from the city. Oh, he's dead the next week. Never, you know, most Christians haven't really dealt with stuff like that. And so, so I just wanted to make a song for the streets, cry out, let them know I see them, I love them, tell them about my experience. I wanted to educate the public. Everyone's talking about Chicago the last 10 years. It's all in the election.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's killing, shooting. And it is bad. It's even worse than you even hear about. And I'm in the trenches doing ministry. And by God's grace, I've seen souls be saved, baptized, come out of some of that. But a lot of death and devastation. So my verse is just talking about what I've seen, trying to educate the outsiders on what it's like. Three comes on. He was part of a historic Chicago gang started in the 60s. That's another thing that's deep about Chicago. These gangs ain't started in 1991. Most of these gangs you hear about, the GDs, BDs, the Black Stones, and the Mickey Cobras, most of these boys came straight out the Black Panther. But we're talking about 1963, 64. You know what I'm saying? So there's literally four generations of gang members walking around Chicago. And so, in different parts of the world. And so he came out of one of those gangs and he's just rapping about his experience, what it was like, how God saved him out, doing time. Everybody saying they'll be there for you, no one visiting, nobody writing him back, it's mail, this and that. And then the last part is a guy speaking who's currently still in the streets of Chicago, been shot at least 11 times to survive. And I was just like, bro, just talk to the people and tell them what it's like. And so that's what he did. So that's Cold Streets. It's a over 6 minute song because we had a lot to say.
Oh, yes, sir. And this is one of my favorites. I've been bumping it every day, to be honest with you, because I love that perspective. I was in a church that, and we was located in the hood, Birmingham. And I used to try to get a ministry to go out and just pass out flyers. We started a breakfast at the church every fourth Sunday where we would invite the neighborhood in. And the church is like right across the street from the projects. So, and I couldn't get, and at first, Justin, it kind of made me feel a certain kind of way because I couldn't get men that was supposed to be endowed by the Holy Spirit to come out the pews to go out and do street ministry. And then a couple of members told me that they were just scared. And I respected that as well. So with you being in the trenches in one of the worst places in Chicago, how much did you have to lean on the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, yeah. And shout out to you, churches in the hood. That's a great thing. But yeah, so often they are scared. I had to lean on the Holy Spirit every single day, every single second. I mean, we were just in a small group. Two, 3 days ago, we heard shots. Somebody got up because he was a little scared and like walked to another room. I was kind of like, well, the Lord's sovereign control. Hopefully it doesn't continue. And that was the end of it. But I've had multiple people killed on my block. One guy killed in my driveway. He was shot up. The bullet fragments were still there. And then he drove a little bit and he died right on the block. Now, these are people caught on my block. They weren't like living there. They probably was in a shootout. But, more than one person killed on my block. And so, and I don't even live in the worst area. Like it goes down, but it's, I just had to, I know I'm immortal, I'm invincible till God called me home. And I know until he has his purpose fulfilled. And so, I would, try to be wise. I'm not trying to be out at 1 a.m. doing street ministry. I try to do street ministry at 5 p.m., I tell people, don't be caught lacking. That's what the young boys say, Like, if you got to go on your GPS, go into a parking lot of a Walmart or a lit street, like, pull over, look around. Because I've known people, they pull over to go look at their navigation. They look up with guns at their head. It's like, bro, you gotta know what's around, what's going on. Like, if you walking down the street, we don't want to profile everybody, but there's six dudes walking. You might want to, at least make eye contact. What's up? Or maybe you want to cross the street. Now, I know that might be controversial with some people, but we gotta be wise. So there were certain street smarts, and things I had to employ. Always being aware of what's around. Before I walk out of the ministry, I'm looking outside. What's going on? I've seen, we've seen people shoot, right outside the ministry. I've seen someone get ran over by a car, attempt on their life. And so you really have to be aware. Like, Christians get killed by stray bullets too.
That's right.
Christians get robbed. Christians get mistaken identity. Yeah, I'm a pastor. I got 3 degrees, bachelor's master's degree and all that. But they don't know that. They just see me walking down the street. Look like any random other dude. So I had to depend on the Holy Spirit and just trust that he was going to use me in that time and try to be wise at the same time. I mean, even got to a point where we do prayer walks and, street preaching and stuff. And after a while, I wouldn't even necessarily go to the exact spot I used to because I knew, oh yeah, he got killed there 2 weeks ago. So let me stand over here and look, and I'll be preaching and looking that way. So I didn't stop, but I had to adjust because, ignorance is bliss. So when I didn't know what was going on, I could go anywhere. Yeah, whatever. But now I was like, multiple people been killed by this gas station. Maybe I should be across from the gas station or something like that. So it was definitely, you try to balance trusting God's sovereign plan and then being wise at the same time.
Hey, man, you answered a lot of questions that I had, but I'm going to reformat a couple of them because I'm real interested now. So, minority cultures, right? Do you lead with the ministry or the gospel of Jesus Christ when you're out there doing your street ministry, or do you lead with the Christian rap?
Yeah, great, great question. To be honest, I barely would rap. I'm mostly preaching, giving the word, and then I would tell them I do music and maybe I'll play a song or show a music video later. Now, some people might see the video and all that, but that's an interesting question. Yeah, I usually, because, at the ministry, we had Bible studies certain days of the week, and what was cool, we had a basketball court. But we shut everything down. All right, time for Bible study. And we'd like come out with Bibles and force it in their hand. And like, amen. You can leave, but you can't stay here. And if you stay here, you got to be part of Bible study. So we'll force some cats to be part of Bible study. And, I might spit an acapella every now and then. But, I kind of just would preach the gospel like any other type of minister. And then the music was kind of a bonus, But then there's other settings where, like, I've been in jails, done prison ministry. And the music would come first, then the gospel. But I think somewhere where I could consistently be at, I try to get to know your story, who you are, hear how you came up, what are your views of God. And when I started, a breakthrough happened in street ministry for me when I started watching documentaries about the gangs and started asking questions about, yo, who's the leader? Who founded this gang? Like, tell me more about Larry Hoover. Tell me more about Jeff Porter. Tell me more about these Chicago legends. Why do you respect them? What did they do? What did they start? What was their life circumstances? And then when cats started hearing, I knew different sets of black disciples, gangster disciples, and all this stuff. They said, what, you know about that? And it was like, it built a respect, because certain people, I came right in with the gospel and they didn't like, who is you? I don't care about that. But then when I entered into their world, it was like, wow. And now I'm not the advocate of, oh, you got to build relationships first, because I do street ministry. I've preached on the train and open the air with a mic. So I just think Christ, sometimes he did a hit and run. As soon as I met you, gospel. Then other times he sat at the crib, ate with them, got them. And then, so we got to do both, build relationships, and we need to confront people, because 150,000 people die every day. So we're not going to be able to build a 6-month, 5-year relationship with everybody. Some people, they need it immediately. And by the time I got to year 3 doing ministry in Inglewood, Southside Chicago, I knew about 13 young men had been killed in a 3-year span. That's cats I did Bible studies with, people I been to baby showers for. That's not counting all that I heard of. Now, all that I heard of was about 30, 40 guys. Then I asked the young man who was around my age in his 30s, I said, how many people would you say have died in Southside Chicago, Inglewood, where you're from, born and raised? I said, maybe 75, 80. Murders. This is not heart attacks. This is not strokes. This is not hit by a car. This is killing, shooting, stabbing, stuff like that. I talked to another lady who's probably in her 40s, maybe close to 50. She said maybe about 200. And I believe her. She got a new son. It's so depressing sometimes hearing people like, yeah, my cousin got killed. Yeah, my boyfriend got killed. Then the next week, my nephew got killed. And it's like, you would think they're making it up. It's that much killing. You would think they're making it up, but they're not. Like, you could go. And then one of the even worse parts, you go to the funeral, and I mentioned it, you know, in my song, you know, like, you go to the funeral almost every time they get preached into heaven, sadly. And I knew cats were like, yo, I don't believe in God. Like, he wouldn't have let my cousin or my sister get killed if he was real. And then the next week they're killed, and then they're preaching to heaven at the funeral. So then there's really no standard. God don't got a standard. Like, all dogs go to heaven, I guess. You know, then it creates confusion, and then it's really hopeless. It's sad, man. And so people need the gospel, but people need resources. People need mental health counseling, because it's PTSD. That even changed my view of PTSD. I always get that.
Oh, absolutely.
Of the people in the army. Oh, yeah, Baghdad, they seen all that. But what about the kid? One guy led to Christ and been discipling. His cousin was killed in his arms when he was 9. Well, where's the counseling for him? You know, he's seen people get stabbed in the corner store line in front of him. He's just trying to get Skittles, and then they stab the guy in front of him and run out. Well, where's the counseling for those type of people? And in Chicago, they closed down a lot of the mental health wards, the psych wards, and all that. So now people just left on the streets. It's crazy, man. So we need the Lord. We need the Holy Spirit. We need people to be humble. When people don't come from them backgrounds, don't come in like a know-it-all. Like, you need to come in as a student to learn. We got the gospel. We got the solution. But you need to be humble and learn about why a lot of people are in the position they're in. Like, yeah, there's some bad choices, but there is historical racism, too. Systemic racism plays a role. There is bad policing. There's some good policing. There is, there's limited access to good jobs and even grocery stores. And, you know, we dealt with people who never been off their block. You know, they never been to downtown Chicago, and they from Chicago. They never, you know, we took a group of kids to Chick-fil-A. They didn't even know what a chicken sandwich was. Like, oh, this is a chicken burger?
What is
this?
Wow.
There's a guy around my age. He said he never went downtown until he got a job. It forced him to go downtown. That was the first time he went downtown. 19 years old, born and raised in the city, never went downtown until he was forced to when he was 18. These are a lot of people's regular stories. But oftentimes, as Christians, we just on the outside looking in, you know, we judge them. And I'm not against judgment when it's righteous judgment.
When it's righteous.
Yeah, you know, just look down on people. We never gave them a chance. We're scared of people, unfortunately. Dude, have you tried to speak to them? Just, hey, what's up? How you doing? Even if they cuss you out, at least you tried. But I thank God you had that heart for your church, because I'm not from that background. So there's fear. But at the same time, it's like, God ain't giving me no spirit of fear. Give me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So God forbid they kill me, which is, would be rare. Like, why would they just kill you? They see, you know, I'm going to heaven, the best place. So we really got to rethink, man, you know, the way we look at people, man. We got to rehumanize people in the streets and understand. And I know I'm going for a while. I'm a passionate guy, so you get me started.
Oh, it's all good.
For 5 hours. But here's another thing I learned, man, a big thing. You hear a lot of cats in the hood, oh, I'm just a product of my environment. And I remember thinking, nah, rise above, bro. My parents are immigrants, man. Rise above that. Then I thought about it. I'm a product of my environment. Oh, we're all products of our environment to an extent. Now, some of us rise up out of the environment and do better, and some of us go below our environment and we know better and we mess up the opportunities we had. But we're all in that boat. So I look at, my dad was a pastor, stockbroker, owned real estate. He never had a 9-to-5 my whole life because he was just an entrepreneur. My mom was a nurse. Harmonious, loving home. So I'm married. I have a harmonious, loving home. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm in the stock market. I have businesses. That was modeled for me. So then I said, wait a minute. I need to reverse it. If my dad was gangbanging, my grandpa was gangbanging, my uncle's gangbanging, my aunties and sisters was gangbanging, because a lot of people forget it's women in it too. And it's not just like a lot of the movies, they're based on LA gang culture, not Chicago. So I've had questions like, oh, you know, if I wear a red shirt, will I be okay? That's not Chicago. It's never been like that. And LA ain't even like that no more. Like Crips and Bloods, they wearing, you know, their own blue, red. But when I think about if I was raised in the same environment they were, no father or my father's gangbanging and raised me to be in a gang, that's another reality a lot of people. They think there's no fathers. There's not as many fathers as should be. But there's a lot of fathers grooming their kids to gangbang. So you got that. And mothers doing the same thing. So you got that. You've never seen a doctor or lawyer in your whole family lineage. They are dead and in jail. You go to churches, a lot of them have false theology, or they'll judge you. They're preaching like it's still 1965, like it's the civil rights movement. I've seen that. I've been judged in a lot of churches in the hood. You know, you walk in. I had a hood on. It's like 20 degrees. They don't even say hi to me. They're like, hey, take that hood off yet. Excuse me. Can you say hello to me first? Mm-hmm. Hello. Hi. There's 12, 10 people in this church. Why do you even care? It's cold. Yo, tell him take off his hat. Like, is that what matters? So you got that going on. False theologies, like the prosperity, come to Christ. Naming and claiming, so you got that going on. Some people can't get to your uncle or dad, so they're now they're trying to kill you at 7, so you inherit beef. That's happening. You know, the police are profiling you. Now, they got to do their job, but, you know, we know there's racism within the police, and so that's its own thing. A lot of police are, we need police, thank God for them, but we know there's corruption in that. Bad grocery stores, bad schools, all the books are old. I mean, you just put all this together. No one's married. It's so much. And so when I say product of the environment, for us on the outside, or if we want to do ministry, or we need to have compassion and pity and put ourselves in other people's shoes. It don't mean we agree with everything they say. It don't mean we water down the gospel or water down God's standards. But, man, we got to really grow to say, if I was born this way, if this is all I knew, I would be just like them. And Lord, how can you use me to show Christ's love, to not water down the truth, but to compassionately share with them? It's not easy. And it's not for everyone. Maybe you just need a supporter ministry doing that type of work. Mm. But we definitely got to grow in that love and compassion while still not compromising truth.
Amen. I'll say this before we go into the break, that's what I try to show a lot of my white brothers and that I work with, right? That in an environment like that, these aren't even Christians, but I've seen the mother that's on the couch having sex in front of her 4-year-old for drugs. The dad is either dead, in jail, or gone. The other sibling is 6. So you got 4, 6, and then you got the 10-year-old male or female that has no food, no support. And then you got the hustler on the block that gives that 10-year-old starts him out or her by bringing the pack to the front, from the front of the project to the back of the project. Next thing you know, that 10-year-old is 11 feeding his siblings that can't get jobs. They can't get a job. And it's a whole cycle over and over and over again. And then they come up with the mental attitude, if I can make 18, I done lived my life.
Jack.
And it's no compassion. We all have fair opportunity. The slave trades didn't do anything.
That was so long ago.
Pull yourself
up by your bootstraps, all that crazy.
That's right. And the disadvantages, and like you said, PTSD, which I've come to acknowledge as well, that it wasn't just in, I was in the service. So it just doesn't, because I went, to Iraq or Vietnam or wherever war that I may have went to, it's war in the streets. It's war. It's war in poverty.
Every day.
So
it's never going to be reported.
That's right. So I love what you said, that Christians, because I had a few questions lined up, like what can we do better with the elder saints accepting Christian rap, and what can we do to get this in the households, in the schools? But what you're doing, I would say, would be the start of anything. Take that step, have the faith, have the compassion and the understanding that everybody doesn't have a silver spoon.
Yeah.
And I was one of them kids, and I'll share before we go to the break, I was one of them kids that had a silver spoon and still ended up in the streets hustling.
Yeah. That happens too, man.
Yes, sir. So did prison time. Didn't get saved in prison. Got out of prison, wasn't saved. Married my wife. My wife put the divorce papers on the table, and my brother said, run to Jesus, and I've been saved ever since. So it's wild out there. I would just ask for people to have compassion when they're doing the ministry. Follow the people that they need to follow. Keep Jesus at their forefront. Be endowed by the Holy Spirit, but take that step. Yes, sir. So you are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, Justin Martyr. Stay locked in as we'll be back after these messages.
Just what up, bro? What's good, 3? What's been up with you, man? I'm out here, man.
What's crazy?
What I've been seeing, man. A lot of shooters. Already with dying all around me. Wow.
So you living that thug life, drug life, gang banging. You know what getting hit with the slugs like. Rough life, fill of schools and abandoned buildings. Guns and crack all around disadvantaged children. Fam, I've been around the world, ain't a single hood. Quite like Southside shot Inglewood. Been doing ministry here for a couple years. In Chicago, shed more than a couple tears. Racism, segregation causing more stress. My first 4 months here, I seen 4 deaths.
in the trap. I want to see him get the Lord's best. But most churches here steady spewing out more mess. I'm born and raised in the county of Dade, Miami, 305, where my foundation was laid. We got gangs in the MIA, but it ain't like Chi-Town. Over a century, sets letting off 9 rounds. On they ops, they don't see a need for cops. Street justice, it seems the cycle will never stop, No good interactions with the police. You try and live life a vegan, no beef. But without Christ, you got no peace. Frontin' like was strong, in reality was so weak. Tell them degrees get you clean money.
Who cares? I'm satisfied selling weed and the loose squares.
Gang banging away your life for more than 3 generations. Had no other choice. You ain't choose a situation unplanned. Parenthood land you in Planned Parenthood. Weight of injustice broke your back. You can't stand like you should. Marriage, forget it. That's not even an option. No real role models got you feeling boxed in. Your dad's dead or a deadbeat. Locked up, he can aim, shoot, and let the lead leak. Your brother's in the gang too, it runs in the family. This is all you know in life, flirting with insanity. Even your mother and your sister claim a set. Funeral programs on your wall, you lost count of all the deaths that you seen. Cold world, this a real cold world. Trying to hold it down for your baby and old girl. I grew up with both parents, both cheering me on. Nobody in my life steering me wrong. 2 sisters and 1 brother never lived in the gutter. Wealthy home, not from the hood, no violence to uncover. Blessed with affluent parents, married over 40 years. They introduced me to Christ, I never lived in fear. I don't know what it's like to bury a dead homie. Never had to run from 12s with feds on me. It's cold in these streets, life so tragic, but we can find hope in the hypostatic union. I had it wrong, assumed I understood. Gotta listen more than I talk to learn about your hood.
First, let me salute you, my dude, for being out here doing ministry, man. That's needed. I mean, I grew up right in the South Shore community. I seen a lot. I was a part of a lot, too, unfortunately, but
these cold streets are often think about when I rap. 3, tell them how you got about the trap.
Product of my environment, I grew up in Ted Town. Don't ride down the block slow, you'll get it fanned down. Every day was a war zone, you'll see a man down. Man found in back of a building from lead rounds. Life goes on, your t-shirts made. Liquor get pulled out on this grave on each birthday. Still blinded to the fact that could be me one day. But didn't care, was in despair, could only see one way. Mindset ill, though I was dying yet still. Unprepared but wasn't scared, I was dying at will. I knew the outcome, excuse without one. Don't move without guns, your shoes can't outrun. I had to learn that quick, words that stick. Grip something firm that blick, to burn that strip. Landed me behind bars where most will find guard. I boast on hard times, but know that time's hard. I called a felony, the streets was telling me that they be there for me. But nobody visit or sent mail to me. Or money on the books, my eyes open, I ain't wanna look. Cause eyes broken, wasn't born a crook. But sin had me, kidnapped me, sin trapped me. Christ paid the ransom for his kids, sadly. Most won't respond, he been sitting there with open arms. I gave you the storm before the calm.
You ain't living in hell, that's much worse.
Streets are cold.
You're made in this image, you got
these
worse.
Streets are cold.
After your life is done, what will you say when you stand before Christ the Son?
Streets are cold.
You ain't living in hell, it's much worse.
Streets are cold.
You made in this image, you got worse.
Streets are cold.
After your life is done, what will you say when you stand before Christ the Son?
I'm still in it, man. I've been stabbed, I've been in homicides and all that, and my friends got killed. I done been there, seen it all, but it is still, it's not even like something that I wanted. It was something that I was raised on. It was something that I was around all my life, so I didn't do nothing but grasp to it. It's more to it. It's like when somebody get killed behind it, blood done draw. So it's that what brings the violence, to bring the harm and the unsafe, and the, you feel me? It's not even It's not, we ain't want this for the streets, and we ain't want to be in the streets. It was more so of, you feel me, I gotta protect me, I gotta protect my family, so, and my circle, and the people that'll be around me. So I kept a mind of treat people how you want to be treated, in the sense of gangbanging.
Yo, 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 this is Adam Harris, and you're now tuned into the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast. Get ready to be inspired by truth every moment of the show. The Bookkeeper 24/7 has a mission to change the culture for God. This Christian rap and hip-hop podcast is sure to uplift and motivate you. Make sure you go and check out my latest single, Truth, featuring Bats, for my upcoming EP, Need to Hold On to the Truth, dropping March 8th. God bless.
You are listening to the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast with our special guest, Justin Martyr. Welcome back. Today, we've had some great, interesting conversations. So right now, I'd like to talk to you, Justin, about white man's religion and the importance of knowing scripture for ourselves. Let's talk about your song, White Man's Religion. What inspired you to write this song?
Yeah, so it's White Man's Religion with a question mark. And so, I just got tired of, man, a lot of these cults, the 5%ers, the Nation of Islam, Hebrew Israelites, the Moors, the Kemets, all these different people lying and saying out of ignorance that Christianity was a white man's religion. And I was like, I was kind of surprised more Christian rappers weren't answering it. I mean, a few people might say a line in a song, you know, shout out to Flame. He had a song, you know, talking about some stuff. And then KB eventually had this song, New Portrait, kind of, you know, remixed the Truth song, the Portrait and other stuff. But I was like, man, there needs to be a stronger answer for this foolishness. And so I wanted to educate the body of Christ that we have answers against this, and to challenge some of the false religions about this topic. And Jesus wasn't white. You start with that, Yeshua, he was a man of color. I'm not saying I know how dark he was. Now, people misuse Revelation 1. He had flames, hair like wool and feet like bronze. I mean, bronze is lighter than most black people, so that really doesn't work. His eyes were literally red, and then his feet are yellow, and then his skin in the wood, he'd be almost a rainbow, take it that way. But that was a glorified Christ. You're missing the point that John is describing Jesus in power and judgment. I mean, it's talking about out of his mouth had a sword coming out. So it's like, so when he come back, he finna really have a sword coming out? Like, I'm poking you with a sword in my mouth. So there's a lot of eisegesis, which is where you read into the scripture your own ideas. And so when we look at, the Gospel of Mark, that was written by an African man. A lot of people don't know that. The man who carried the cross, Simon the Cyrene, that's modern day, I believe, Libya. That's Africa right there. We have the Ethiopian eunuch that brought the gospel. We have Moses who married an African. Jesus lived in Egypt. He lived in Africa. A lot of people forget that. He left, Israel when Herod was trying to kill him. They went and lived in Africa. It's a white man's religion, but God in the flesh lived in Africa. We know that the original Israelites were not white. They were people of color. Now, again, we don't know how dark or light they were, but we just know they weren't Europeans. I wanted to just challenge what was out there. We also have many church fathers who, like Athanasius, Augustine, these were African men who were defending the faith. And so a lot of people, it's like they start black history in the 1500s with slavery. Like, yes, did a lot of people, slaves get introduced to Christianity through slavery? Sure. But that's not how black people originally heard the gospel. We were in the beginning, Adam and Eve, we know they were people of color. They weren't white Europeans either. The melanin they would need to survive. Where they're from, the rivers, there's great evidence that the Garden of Eden was in Africa, the first place. And so we also, there were no European authors of the Bible. Everyone who wrote the Bible was a person of color, whether Israelite or they wrote in Africa, Asia, and then I think just the book of Romans was the only book written in Europe. But when you look at 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Revelation, all these other places, these are in Asia Minor, other places like that. And so it's an ignorant claim. It's a white man's religion. It focuses on, and even when you think about slavery, they had the slave Bible where they ripped out pages that you know, people would read to help inspire them to be liberated. We see Harriet Tubman was a Christian. Frederick Douglass was a Christian. Nat Turner was a Christian. Led a revolt. He read the Bible and saw what they were doing was false. So it's a disrespect to our ancestors and those who came before us. People want to talk about all this ancestor stuff. It's a disrespect to say these were just idiot people who accepted whatever was given to them. Nah, read the slave narratives. They tell you they knew this was false. They knew this wasn't true Christianity. And they were plotting to get out of there. The Underground Railroad, organized by Christians. Most of these HBCUs, organized by Christians. I just was listening to the founding of Spelman College in Georgia. Christians, it was a seminary at first. Christian women started a seminary that became Spelman College. Bethune Cookman, she went to my alma mater, Moody Bible Institute, before she started Bethune Cookman College in Daytona Beach, Florida. So there's just so much overwhelming. Yes, has there been a lot of ignorance in the black church? Sure. There's been a lot of pimping and guys sleeping around, and you know what I'm saying? A lot of people have bought into white supremacy in the black church, you know what I'm saying? But we have a lot of people standing up against it. Yeah, a lot of cops profess to be Christians and they're racist, but we know everyone professing don't possess. Every profession ain't a possession. So we know that a lot of these racist cops aren't actually Christians. They could say all they want that they are, but we know by their lifestyle, a lot of these white cops killing black people and harassing, doing all this craziness, we know they're not saved by the way that they live. And so, yeah, white man's religion was just a way to come against that. And also to highlight that so many of these people, they're Google scholars, they're Wikipedia theologians. They don't have actual credentials. And you could hear it. They rely on misreading of maps. They make Deuteronomy 28:68, is supposed to, according to them, be a fulfillment of the transatlantic slave trade, where it's like, okay, so Egypt is not literal, but the slave ships are literal. So Egypt means house of bondage, and that's America. Well, we could do that with anything. If we just start twisting the word like that, then we can make anything mean anything, and it's just stupid. And I get it. Many of us were hurt by racism, mass incarceration, stuff still happening now with the cops, and a lot of churches aren't addressing it. Or a lot of the white churches are part of the problem. They're ignoring it, or they're saying get over it and this and that. So sadly, I see the problem and I see the solution. And man, that was white man's religion was a way to combat a lot of that. And I've gotten tons of emails, calls, social media messages. Thank you. Man, that helped me so much. My husband was getting into Hebrew Israelism. He came out of it because that song, or educated me, you know, because I got a skit that goes along with it that elaborates on that subject even more. And just challenging a lot of these stupid arguments that are easily debunked. And again, a lot of things happened during slavery, but at the end of the day, if people misuse the Bible during slavery, you still need to study the Bible to see if it's true. Even if white people enslaved us and Christianity was forced on us, we still needed to do the research to see if this religion is true, because that's what really matters. Is Christianity true or not? Even if people enslaved and colonized, that's horrible. But every religion, every culture has slavery. Every religion, every culture has rape and lies and conquering and kings and this and that. So if that's the case, we just should be atheists, can't believe nothing. But then atheists have killed, and atheist China has done craziness and killed, slaughtered their own people. We had Stalin in Europe, who was an atheist and slaughtered his own people. So there's mess in everything. And when I see the mess in the church and throughout the history of Christianity, it actually proves the Bible true, because all men are sinners. All men, you know, mess up. And that's why you put your hope and faith in God and not in men.
Amen. Yeah, that song touched on, I mean, you said it, slavery, racism, colonization. What can we do as Christians to help promote unity among all people, regardless of their ethnic or cultural background?
Yeah, man, we got to really sit with people. We got to have conversations. We got to get in the word together. Listen to other types of preachers that don't look like you, man. So many of my friends in seminary, Bible college, their libraries only of white preachers Or I have some friends, their library is only a black preacher. Like, let's listen to some Hispanic voices. Let's listen to some Asian voices. Let's walk with humility. Realize no one knows it all. Realize we all have to learn. I was born and raised in Miami, immigrant parents. I mean, I grew up more diverse than most people will ever be. I mean, our household was Jamaican. Next door was a Haitian household. Next door was Jewish. Across the street was white American. Across from there was black American, African American home. Across from that was Hispanic that flipped to Chinese. And yet still, I've made ignorant comments to some of my homies. I had a homie from Bangladesh. I remember I asked him, we was in Bible college. I was like, hey, is Bangladesh a third world country? He's like, we prefer the term developed. I was like, sorry, bro. I didn't even know, man. I offended him. I didn't mean to, but I could have been prideful like a lot of my white friends that you check them. Oh, no, it's not that big of a deal. Now I said, you know what? I'm sorry, bro. Developing. And I never use the term third world no more, because that is me looking down as first world and saying you're third world, instead of saying,
oh wow,
developing country or developed, underdeveloped, something like that. So why don't we let people tell their own story and listen, instead of thinking we have them figured out when we can't even relate to how they came up. We don't know nothing about their experience. Again, it don't mean we're going to agree on everything, but we need to humbly be quick to listen, slow to speak. I love Judge Judy. That's my homie, you know. Love her show. She always says, God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. So listen more than you speak, especially when you know they don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, man, you just hit my go-to scripture, James 1:19. Yeah. That's by right there. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, or get angry, whatever translation you read. From the video I released titled "The Only Guarantee in Religion: Why Christianity Stands Out," the comments came roaring in. I'm gonna read a couple of comments from the video. Like this one from username Jenna. No, Jesus did not give a guarantee. John 3:13, which you Christians are hastily sidestep on your way to verse 16, says that nobody goes to heaven except him who left it, meaning himself. Deuteronomy 4:40, the earth was made for humankind forever. Last I checked, forever is a really long time. Revelation 21, the holy city comes from heaven to reside on earth, and blah blah blah. I can't even get through all of this. But the other comment, no religion can guarantee a place in heaven. Christianity was started to scare the people into doing what the church wants. They can't promise you a place in heaven because God still has control over who gets in. You can follow Jesus and still not get into heaven. From username Dalton Stringer. So I have many thoughts on this, first of all, because they cherry pick the scriptures like my pastor like to say, right? And the first comments that I couldn't get through, clearly Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, right? So he was telling him that if you can't believe this, then how are you going to believe this? So they took all that out of context. Deuteronomy 4:40, they took out of context. This last about, even before that, when heaven meets earth, they took that out of context. So my question is, as Christians, should we answer these questions?
Yeah, I mean, I answered some of them. I've been meaning to get back because, you know, I have a life. I have other things going on. But I think, yeah, we, you know, the scriptures, 1 Peter 3:15, you know, talks about always be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have. You know, do it and sanctify Christ in your hearts and do it with love and humility. So, you're not going to have the time maybe to answer every single thing. I put out a video against the Hebrew Israelites. We had a street encounter. And, man, a year later, I'm still getting a lot of comments, but it's been cool. A lot of Christians been jumping in as well. And so, yeah, man, apologetics online, man, you might not answer everything, but we have answers. These are easy to answer. Now, I'd rather talk to you in person than like answer through typing, but you know, that has its place, and God uses it. And as you said, man, they're taking a lot of stuff out of context, and we need to show them that they have answers, because we don't know that person's struggling and really wants to come to Christ, and the Holy Spirit might be dealing with them and us answering, like with your testimony, right? You had to say your brother or brother-in-law or whoever, they gave you that word that you needed when you was going through it.
Yes, sir.
Definitely got answers.
Yes, sir. So, Justin, as we get ready to wrap this up, let us know where we can find your music, what you got coming up next, what we touched on, what you have out now. But let the fam know what's going on.
Hey, what up, fam? You can check out my music, and you can check me out on social media at JustinMartyr305, at JustinMartyr305. That is JustinMartyr305. MARTYR305 because I'm born and raised in the 305 Dade County. JustinMartyr305.com. I got a record label I own. We got a compilation album dropping. Haven't put a date out. I got more music videos coming out. I do have 5 albums out in the EP, and I've been doing a music video for almost every song on my album called NNSM, New Name, Same Mission, that dropped in 2020. And ain't no rules no more in music, so I'm doing music videos from an album 2-3 years ago. There was an R&B artist named Bryson Tiller. He dropped a video for an album he dropped 5 years prior. There's a 5-year anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Of Trap Soul. I'm like, see, ain't no rules. Cats dropping videos 5 years later? Okay, let's just keep these videos going. And so that's what I got going on. I'm producing for different artists. We're doing shows. My wife and I, Aisha Marie, we got a couple husband and wife shows together where we preach and teach together, do music. So we always got stuff going on. I'm always producing for people and hoping to put a tour together for a new label. So my label's called Verbal Renaissance, and we got our first album compilation.
Dope, man.
Yeah, thank you, man. It's called Welcome to the VR, and we got 18 tracks. We got a skit and couple intros, got acapellas. Every artist has solo songs, plus we got group songs. Looking forward to it, man. And so again, we don't have a date yet, but we did complete the project, so I'm excited about that, and I'm hoping to bring the crew on with me next time and bring the whole label to do an interview.
Amen. We'll be here.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. On your longest day and hardest battle, what scripture do you find strength in?
Yeah, I love Proverbs chapter 3:5-7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And, you know, that's one of my go-to scriptures. John chapter 10:28. Jesus says, I give my sheep eternal life. They'll never perish, neither can they be plucked from my hand. My Father is greater than all, and no one can be plucked from his hand. And, you know, that's another one. And Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So a bunch of scriptures, man, and just love the Lord and just grateful for that assurance he gives us, and that peace that he gives us.
Amen. Well, it's been an amazing conversation with the incredible, talented, and inspiring Justin Martyr. Before we say goodbye, make sure you follow Justin Martyr on his social media accounts to stay updated on his latest projects and upcoming events. You can also check out his latest song, In Our Space, Cold Streets, on all streaming platforms. And be sure for future projects to pre-save it to show your support and help boost its visibility in the industry. Also, don't forget to check out the show notes for links and more information. Thank you for tuning in to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, and we'll catch you on the next time. We out. Peace.